Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday with me, Noel Brown. Take two. Hey, it's Mini Crush Monday. Hey, Noel, how now, Brown Cow?
It is I.
Take three.
What's happening?
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Mini Crush Monday. It's me, Josh Clark.
Is this that movie Split? Switch?
Okay.
Flip.
Come on. All right. Take, what is this, four? Take four.
That's the sound of a new take, or it's like a dream sequence. That's what we're experiencing right now, clearly.
All right, take four. Ready? Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stuff You Should Watch.
I like to watch things.
We could go with that. Stuff You Should Watch is the closest you've gotten.
All right, take five. You ready?
Oh my God, my alarm's going off. Everything's all askew. Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to... All right, this is it. Come on. 20 dwarves took turns doing push-ups on the lawn.
I don't know that one.
Okay. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush. This is the Movie Crush version on Monday that's very much shorter, and it features Noel Brown and me, Chuck Bryant.
Oh, it's so good to be back, Chuck.
What if we just did that over and over, like Family Guy style, for 30 minutes?
What do you call that? There's a name for that kind of joke.
Beating a dead horse?
That's a thing, but there's the Shaggy Dog story, which is just like the joke where it's all set up, and then the punchline is just a nothing. You know, I think that's what a Shaggy Dog story is.
Like the Aristocrats?
It's not quite the same thing. Kind of like the Aristocrats. I think the Aristocrats is a Shaggy Dog story. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that documentary on the Aristocrats?
I did, and I think the thing that I remarked on that most people did was that the filthiest version was done by Bob Saget, as clean-cut, you know, dad from Full House, but turns out he's a total scumbag.
Yeah, my brother worked with him, and he was actually a great guy to work with.
I'm sure.
Very much filthy in real life.
Yeah, I when I say scumbag, I mean humor wise.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a scumbag. A
well, there you go. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Noel. We have catch up on our list as the first thing, and there was some breaking news this morning.
Oh shit!
In real time, Noel, that Amazon acquired MGM Studios.
Oh boy, what does that mean? No, this is news to me.
Yeah, it's like $8.56 billion or something.
At Amazon, they just throw money around like it's money.
Yeah, I think they said the big play here was the fact that the James Bond franchise is now under the control of Amazon.
You know what? I saw a thing. It was one of those hyperbolic kind of headlines where it's like, the studios no longer have control of the movie industry. And it's because of the streamers. They're the ones, obviously, with the pandemic and the way, you know, theaters weren't a thing anymore. There's always been this kind of tacit understanding that the studios would defer to the theaters, and that awards revolved around theatrical releases, and that shit matters, you know, to studios anyway. But now it seems like the streamers are in control. You got your HBO Max, you got your Amazon and all that, and it seems like they're the ones holding the keys now. And this just kind of solidifies it, don't you think?
Well, I tell you what, Noel, I mean, they are a version of the new studio, and it's like anything else in media, you adapt or you fucking die.
It's true.
You can't stop it. You can't pout and sit on your hands and say, well, this isn't fair.
It's like all those cab drivers that were upset about Uber and Lyft, you know?
You got to adapt. Things change, Noel. Mm-hmm. You can be left behind, or you can roll with it and work in the new system.
I think I mentioned last episode, I think, that I went and saw a movie in the theater, and I really liked it. And that's sort of a silly thing to say. Movies in the theaters are great. No, I've always really loved going to movies in the theater, and I I just feel like the release schedule isn't back yet. There's like been two movies kind of lingering in the theaters this whole time.
I looked today. There's nothing out that's worth.
I know it's weird. So hopefully that
coming soon though.
Coming soon. I would like to continue that that tradition.
Yeah, me too.
Sad that I'm referring to it as a tradition, like it's some sort of nostalgia. Remember going to movies in the theater?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready. I'm feeling more confident about stuff. I went to, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, I went to a baseball game.
Nice.
And that was kind of nice. And Emily and I had our first dinner out on a patio last week. And that was wonderful. And,
lovely.
We're easing on out there a bit.
I hear you, man. I've got a couple work trips scheduled. Obviously, that Seattle trip was a kind of big first push.
Sure.
But yeah, going to Nashville for a conference and probably going out to LA pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to it. Like, work isn't saying thou must travel, but they're like, hey, if you've got a reason, don't hesitate to do it. Don't hesitate to do it. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, Chuck.
Do it, Noel. I'm going to make somebody tell me to travel for work.
Yeah.
I have no...
I'll do it. You want me to do it?
I have no interest in... I don't want to... It's. I mean, I'm fine to get on a plane now because I'm vaccinated, but I don't want to. I've really enjoyed being at home and not traveling and being away from my family.
Oh, I have too, Chuck, but I've also reached the kind of threshold and I am now sick of my family entirely.
Well, that happens.
I'm just kidding.
That's a thing. Sure. It's funny. You really... I know this has been rough on some marriages. I've known a couple of people who've gotten divorced during this pandemic.
As have I.
It's just it's a real test of your friendship as a partner. You know, like you got to be friends with who you're married to, or you're not going to get through it.
Dude, I mean, not to play Dr. Ruth here or anything, but I mean, it's so important that you just enjoy, you know, keeping company with this person, that you have things in common that you can actually vibe.
Yes.
If you don't, or if it's all based on attraction or like sex, all that shit goes away when you get
on.
It doesn't have to go away. You know what I'm saying? If you don't actually enjoy the person's company and like just being lazy and sitting around and bullshitting and bantering, there's really not much else. Everything else kind of goes by the wayside eventually, you know. So
that's right. And not everyone is Sting, and you know, in their 60s or whatever he is, can still get down with hot tantra fucking for hours at a time. Good
that's
for
what his
him.
New album. That's what his new album is called, Chuck. It's called Hot Tantra Fucking with Sting.
HTF for the. Yeah. Or Walmart and the more conservative retailers.
Yeah, and the subtitle is, you got stung by that dick.
Good for you. Oh, God. Good for you, Sting. Ooh. My sex life is better than it's ever been, and I'm approaching 70. Ooh.
I know. It's nice. It's
Who
good
cares?
For him. It's good for him.
More important things in life.
Oh, there are. You know, like Movie Crush, Mini Crush. What's the show called again? You got me all flummoxed, Chuck. That opening really threw me for a loop.
I would say that Mini Crush is more important than Hot Tantric Fucking.
I think that's probably true. It definitely gets better reviews than that new Sting record. No, nobody cared about it. They really resented that Apple just put it on their phones. You know, it's like, nobody wants that.
So, Noel, do you have any more in the catch-up department?
Trying to think. I got a new synthesizer that I'm really excited about.
Let's hear about it. Is that it behind you? Is that what I'm looking
at? No,
that's
an old one. That's an 80s Juno 106 from Roland, and I got it repaired recently. I have actually, our boss Connell gave that to me.
Oh, nice.
Because he used to play it in this band that he was in called Adam, which I'm sure you're aware of. And I had another one, and he saw it in the background. I was like, well, it doesn't work. He goes, well, I have this one in my attic. You can have it, and if it works, you know, then you'll be a happy boy. And it didn't turn on, but I got it repaired, and then I got my other one repaired. So now I have one that I am keeping and one that I'm selling. But I bought a Sequential Circuits Prophet Rev 2, which is the sound, Chuck, of like John Carpenter movie soundtracks.
Ooh.
So I might have to do like a augmented Movie Crush bumper or some kind of little ditty with it. It sounds so cool, man. It's so
yeah. Pretty, it's I tell awesome. You what you should do, Noel, is just do some sort of a 30-second jam audio soundscape, and we'll just throw it in here somewhere.
Okay. All right. Here it is. We'll be right back.
All right. Oh, that's amazing. Well, you'll have to make sure our producer, Mike. Did we ever announce that Mike has taken over the show?
Good old Mike. Love Mike.
We maybe have been.
No, we did. I big upped him heavily. I'm certain about it. About his NPR background and Right Club and all the things that he does.
I just want to make sure Mike gets his due. We need to re-record, have Lauren re-record our post-credit sequence our credit sequence because she still says Seth is the producer. Oh. That was two producers ago. Yesterday's news.
What happens with yesterday's news, Chuck. Yesterday's news gets thrown away. Nobody passes it around.
I get passed around like tomorrow's news.
Tomorrow's sandwiches.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what any of it means, but I'm happy to be here. You had a nice little getaway as well, didn't you? With like a family situation, some camping of some sort.
The family camp is 99% complete, Noel. That's few friends come up and help. Had a couple of big work days, which was a lot of fun. It was funny when we were all like, there were some kids running around, and there were some people helping me. You know, there was all kinds of things to do to kind of finish the camp out. And Emily was working on some stuff, and she said, "You know, it was very cute." She said, "Anytime there are a bunch of people like working like this in a big fun atmosphere, and there's music playing, I always think of Footloose when they're putting the prom together."
You know, I've never seen Footloose, Chuck.
Oh, no. All right, I'm on it.
I'll get on it by next week. Is this like a family, like a plot of land or something?
I've talked about a little bit on Stuff You Should Know. I have some land in the mountains with a creek on it. And my dream has always been to have sort of a family camp, family and friend camp. And it's getting so crowded in Atlanta over the years that it's hard to go camping on the weekends. If you get up, if you're not up there in the North Georgia mountains on a Thursday, then forget about it. You come up, you creep up there on a Friday after work. You can't find a camping spot out in the wild unless you want to camp right next to some schmucks. Mm-hmm. So I got some land. It was just last year was a pop-up tent with some stuff stored under it. And this year I was finally able to get a carpenter to build a pavilion with some shed storage and firewood storage and an outhouse that I'm still waiting on the composting toilet for. It's not finished yet. And we built a little outdoor kitchen in it and picnic tables, and we got everything you want. So the idea, Noel, is that everything is kind of there, all the cookware, all the stuff that you have to tote to take camping. So if people want to go camping there, all you do is bring your stuff to sleep, your tent and your sleeping bag or whatever, your cot, and then whatever food and booze you want to bring. And everything else is there to make it super simple to just sort of last minute say, hey, let's go camping. And it's open to you, Noel. If you ever want to go camping up there, you can totally use it.
Chuck, I would love that. I would mainly love to, you know, I mean, I want to like hang with you guys, man. I want to come like vibe with the Bryants.
Do you want to come camping this weekend, Noel?
Well,
what are you doing Memorial Day weekend?
I don't actually have any major plans.
We got a bunch of people. There's like 25 of us, like 6 or 7 kids.
I will think about it. My kid is actually doing a camping thing with her other friend in Tennessee. But
this weekend, I'm free.
Yeah, for Memorial Day. But let me think about that. That's really the lovely thought. And
all right, it's out there, and there will be the whole band is going. So my drummer is bringing his one of those drums that you sit on and play, and we just. You know, we sit around by the campfire, Noel. We make s'mores. We play guitar. We drink.
I'll bring my synth.
Well, we do have power. We have solar power at the pavilion.
I saw the solar power panels on the roof. That's
it's so amazing.
Cool,
you could bring your fucking synth if you wanted. It's like fully
synth jam.
The dream one day, Noel, is to have get a few of my musician friends and do a little like weekend hoot nanny for real.
Ooh, a hoot and a holler. I love it. I'm ready.
All right, so it's out there, and if anyone, I finally posted some pictures. I'm very proud of it.
It looks awesome, Chuck.
The Chuck the Podcaster Instagram. So we have the Bryant Family Camp, and it's very sweet that everyone wants to go crash the camp and have Movie Crush and Stuff You Should Know events there, but it is closed for those activities.
Got it.
Sorry. Do you have a tent, Noel, and sleeping bags and stuff?
I don't, actually.
I have extras. I've even got you hooked up there.
Amazing. I do need to. I want to be a camping guy. I want that for myself. So I think I maybe need to. I did just buy a really cool bike. I haven't had a bike in a long time, and I bought a nice Trek bike off a dude off of Craig's or Facebook
marketplace.
So nice.
Trying to get it back into shape, Chuck, now that we're like, you know, humans again.
I ordered a bike too, Noel. It's coming in, it was back ordered, so it's coming in like mid-June, late June.
Nice.
All right, Noel, well, the invite is out there. And if you don't come this weekend, we should just get together another weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of great fun.
I can't wait.
All right. So, Noel, we're going to do a little something now called Noel's Holes.
It's time for
Noel's Holes.
Whoa. I wasn't ready for this, Chuck.
I sprung it on you.
I've been filling a lot. One of my holes sprung a leak.
Gross.
Okay.
Now, of course, I'm looking around. I don't even think I have a pencil. That's okay. That is troublesome, though, because that's my traditional way.
Got to have a pencil.
No, I'll just do it on the computer. That's fine.
Oh, you hate that, though, Chuck.
No, I don't. Why don't I have a pencil down here? What am I, a digital man?
That's what I'm saying. Ugh. It's not like you.
So analog. All right, no pencil.
All right.
I'm looking all around this basement. Not a pencil to the head. All right, Noel. We're going with a category this week that I don't know if we've done before. The categories get thin with movies after a while, you know? Sometimes
true,
we do
Chuck.
A repeat. But we're going to go with thrillers, Noel. Thriller movies from all thriller, eras.
Like the music video thriller. That's what this is about.
No, it's not about that, Noel.
Okay,
it's about
okay.
Thriller, the genre.
Got it.
And let's go ahead. Here, let me open up another document so I can more easily
Chuck,
keep score.
Before we continue, do you personally feel like there is a distinction between the thriller and the horror?
Well, sure. Two different things.
But the movie featured in the music video thriller is clearly a horror.
Horror. That's what he should have called it.
But don't you agree? Don't you think that's a little bit sending mixed messages?
I think Michael Jackson sent a lot of mixed messages here.
That's probably fair. That's probably fair. All right, Chuck, I got that out of the way. I just had to pull you there. I'm ready.
All right. I've got my yes column and my no column. And we're going to go ahead, Noel, and start with a little movie called Memento.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You gotta answer the question.
I forgot how this game works. I've seen Memento, yes.
All right. I figured that.
It's as simple as that.
There's some gimmies here early on, Noel, but, you know, usual.
That's how you throw me off, and then all of a sudden I start to tank.
The goal when I design the game is not to stump you entirely. When I design the game, Noel, is not to stump you entirely.
Now, Chuck, I really didn't. I didn't try. And the second time I did a lot better, so. I made up for my first horrible, almost entirely Japanese
bless you
version. Thank you.
Let's right. We should leave that in. Yeah, let's pick a genre.
I'm a human being.
Chuck is
I sneeze.
Completely not into.
If you if you prick me, I also bleed. Let's go.
All right. Number two, Noel. It's a little thriller about a head in a box. It's called Seven.
In the box. What in the box?
Wow, you just look so much like Brad Pitt when you did that.
Thanks, Chuck. It's a thing I do. That would be the movie, I believe it's called 8.
Not quite.
Almost. 7, 8, 9.
The first
set. Okay, 7.
Go backwards. 7. Mm-hmm. All right, Noel. That's 2 in the yes category. Noel, number 3 is a little movie starring Mr. Jake Gyllenhaal called Nightcrawler.
Yeah, I love that one. He's like a crime scene paparazzi, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One might say a crime scene addict.
A photog. There's a great sequence in that movie where he like screams at himself in the mirror, and I think he smashes the mirror, and I think that was improv, and he actually hurt himself.
Oh, really?
He also got real gaunt and weird looking for that role, don't you think?
Yeah. Yake can he can change his appearance quite drastically.
He can. He's one of the greats.
I like that guy. All right, Noel, we are going to move on to another little movie about a girl that's gone, and it's called Gone Girl.
Mm-hmm. The Goodbye Girl. Yeah, that was that. That's a good one.
Okay.
There's that sequence at the end with, what's his name, Doogie Howser, where he just gets, he bleeds all over her.
I know. I quite enjoyed that movie. I read the book as well.
It's good. Very good.
All right, Noel, boy, you're smoking it.
I like a thriller.
We're going to go back in time a bit to the 1980s to a little movie called Fatal Attraction.
I have not seen Fatal Attraction.
Wow. I think we've talked about this before.
That's the one with Glenn Close, right? Glenn Close?
Yes.
And who's the
movie?
Who is she fatally attracted to? Michael Douglas. That's why it's confusing, because he was also in Basic Instinct.
Very true.
And those are both kind of erotic, you know, thrillers. Erotic thrillers. That's the genre.
Yeah, they are sexy thrillers. Fatal Attraction, better than Basic Instinct. If you're talking just quality movie, Basic Instinct is still pretty fun, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, Noel, that's your first no. Next up, Noel, we have a movie about a band backstage being tormented by Nazi skinheads. It's called Green Room.
I love it. I've watched it a couple times. I think it's excellent. We both love that movie Blue Ruin that the filmmaker made previously.
Correct.
I think that's a better film, but I really like Green Room too.
Yeah, agreed. Tough movies, you know, if you're a little squeamish.
Oh, God, yeah.
They're both very taut, tense thrillers.
They're taut, and they've got a lot of nasty limb damage and things happening to people.
Limb damage is tough.
Yeah.
All right, Noel, you're doing great. Number seven, Noel, is a movie that featured another drastic body transformation, featuring Christian Bale as a gaunt mechanic.
It's called Gaunt Girl.
It's called... Very nice. The Machinist.
Chuck, I have spotty memories of this movie, which implies to me that I watched it on TV and half paid attention. So I think I got to give it a no, Chuck, if I'm being completely honest.
Yep.
You know, I want to honor the game.
Honor the game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow. Right, well.
Machinist is good.
All right. Where he kind of doesn't know what's real. He's sort of losing it, and he's a paranoid, schizophrenic kind of vibe. Is that the deal? Like he sort of.
You know what? I'm having trouble remembering now, but yes. But I did see The Machinist, and it was one of those movies that's like, you know, it's fairly disturbing. So I think you can put it out of your brain in a certain way.
Right.
And I think that's what happened to me. Ooh, you having a Topo Chico?
I love a Topo, Chuck.
Oh, boy. The fizziest of all fizzy waters.
It's the best level of fizz.
It is my favorite. High in fizz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love it. It's good in a mixed drink as a mixer.
Well, then really quickly, not to derail the game, but super quickly, there's a one of the first bars that opened in a comfortable outdoor manner as a local place called 97 Astoria here in Atlanta.
Sure.
Which we all love. They have a drink in Cabbage Town. They have a drink called Ranch Water, and they literally take a Topo Chico and pour a little bit of it out and add tequila and fresh lime, and that is my favorite drink right now, and I've been making them at home. And then you should too, Crushers. It's a great, great movie drink.
Yeah. And you know, if you want a little alcoholic beverage and you're trying to skimp on the calories, it's a good way
That's
to do
what
it.
I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. No sugar. It's also keto friendly if you're into that vibe. Sure. And very few carbs. So
I love it.
That is my recommendation for a cocktail.
All right, Noel. We are moving on to the next one on the list, which is a movie that was kind of a smaller, somewhat overlooked film, but has quite a nice reputation on the streaming services, called The Invitation.
Ooh, I got to Google this real quick because it doesn't ring a bell, which probably means I haven't seen it. The Invitation from 2015, directed by Karen Kusama. I do not know this film at all.
Yeah, it's listed as a horror film online, but I take issue with that. I think it's in the thriller category.
Oh, even the cover looks Thriller City. It's like a glass of red wine and a dude standing by himself in the background.
It's a dinner party gone wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away anything else.
No, it sounds like
a very good movie.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
All right, The Invitation. Overlooked. All right, Noel, it is 5-3.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
All right. We're going to go back in time a little bit more to a sort of a high class thriller from director Anthony Minghella, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, I like that one quite a lot, actually.
Okay.
I distinctly remember feeling irritated at Jude Law's character and almost feeling like Ripley was justified in his retribution. But then, you know, he sort of took it too far because it's like, you know, they brought him on, they paid his way. They gave him everything and made him feel like $1 million. And then they totally were like, you know what? We're kind of done with you. And that's not a good feeling. And that's enough to make anybody, even not like verging on, you know, psychotic, at least get their feelings hurt.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, Noel, we're moving on to number 10, a movie that was out, I think, last year, maybe the year before, called A Simple Favor.
My goodness gracious, Chuck. I don't believe so.
All right. Features the very lovely Blake Lively and the very lovely Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. They're both featured in full loveliness on the cover.
Yep. Good movie. Mm-hmm. Somewhat overlooked. All right, Noel, it is 6-4.
Oh, boy. Six Noel, in my favor, up. Right? Six in my favor.
Six in your favor.
Okay, good, good, good.
We have a movie starring Mr. Jason Bateman called The Gift.
Well, shit.
Look it up.
I am. A lot of these thrillers have very innocuous names.
Yeah.
That's why I'm having to look them up. The Gift. Wait.
Directed by Joel Edgerton and starring Joel Edgerton as well.
No, I didn't see The Gift.
Good movie, Noel. Good thriller.
Gordo. There's a character named Gordo in it, which I love.
All right, 6-5. Things are evening out here, Noel.
Oh, boy.
As I suspected.
Oh, boy.
All right, next up, number 12, we have a movie, a bit of a mystery, a bit of a thriller, a bit of Clint Eastwood, a bit of Sean Penn, Mystic River.
Yeah, I saw Mystic River.
Okay.
I saw Mystic River. Wait a minute. Wasn't there a flippin' another movie called The Gift with Cate Blanchett and Giovanni Ribisi? And it was directed by Sam Raimi? Okay, Chuck. I saw that Gift.
Well,
I saw that The Gift. And that is, to me, the more known The Gift. Feel like you ought to give me that one on a technicality.
Yeah, that's not the movie I was thinking of, though.
Damn it! All right.
That was a good movie, though.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, another thriller. Katie Holmes, I think, right?
I know. Katie Holmes. She goes full nude in that one.
Oh, that's right.
That is the memory that I have of that film.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. We are moving right along then, Noel, to number 13, another movie starring Sharon Stone, Sliver.
Sliver. The poor man's Basic Instinct is what one was. Who was in that? What's the dude's name?
I don't know. Was that a what's his face?
Exactly. It definitely was what's his face.
Was that a Baldwin?
It was a Baldwin.
Was it a Billy Baldwin?
It was Billy Baldwin.
Yeah.
BB.
And a Tom Berenger.
Sharon Stone.
And a Martin
William. Yeah, exactly.
Class
enough. Remember Body of Evidence, Chuck, with Madonna and Willem Dafoe?
I do know, but have you seen Sliver?
I don't think I saw Sliver. I bet I watched it on like Skinamax. Just like fast forwarding for like the steamy scenes.
Sure.
It doesn't count. It holds a strong 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh. Yeah, it was supposed to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, Noel, number 14 is a movie called Body of Evidence, believe it or not.
Oh shit, really?
Really?
Yeah, I definitely saw that one. The steamy scenes in that one were so good it justified watching the whole movie.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like candle wax dripping and stuff, and
ooh,
like, you know,
nothing sexier than candle wax, right?
Oh God, I know. Seriously, yeah.
Just ask Sting.
I saw it, and I actually listened to. They did a "How Did This Get Made" on it as well recently, and that's how I realized I know every single one of these beats they're talking about, because it's like I think she's a psychiatrist or something, and like is accused of having murdered her husband. And Willem Dafoe is the detective investigating it, and he somehow gets wrapped up in her very irresponsibly, in this tryst. And I don't remember exactly what happens, but I definitely
no one does.
Seen it. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Nobody remembers.
There was also Final Analysis, which is another one of that crop of erotic thrillers around the same time.
Yeah, there was a spate of those in that era. Madonna.
Sharon Stone.
Not a great actor.
Was in all of them.
Well, except for Madonna's.
Yeah, I know.
Could have been Sharon Stone, though.
Kim Basinger was in Final Analysis.
I miss Kim Basinger. She should be in more movies.
She's great.
I like her. All right, Noel. Moving on. Number 15, political thriller, military thriller, a little movie starring Kevin Costner and Gene Hackman. Very good movie called No Way Out.
Damn it, Chuck. Why couldn't it have been The General's Daughter or something like that?
Because that's not good. No Way Out's awesome.
There's no, like... prerequisite that these picks have to be good. No, I haven't seen No Way Out, Chuck.
All right, Noel. It's getting tight.
Am I losing now?
Nope. It's 8-7 in your favor.
All right.
Coming to the final stretch here for the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Noel, the next movie is a movie I've ragged on many, many times because of the glaringest of plot holes, wherein if any of these characters just picked up a cell phone, there would be no movie. Mm. Wicker Park.
But they didn't have cell phones, did they? Well,
yes, they did.
That was right on the cusp of, that was like, you know, Nokia brick type phones, probably. Wicker Park. No, I didn't see Wicker Park, Chuck. Wow. I didn't see Wicker Park.
It's funny. I looked it up this morning because I was like, I'm not the only one who thought this right. If you just Google Wicker Park cell phone, there's so many articles and reviews.
Can you explain? Like,
all they had to do was make a phone call.
I mean, not that anybody cares about spoilers. But can you briefly explain why it hinges on that or how it would have solved the problem?
Oh, I can't even remember, man. It was so bad. It was like there was a guy who liked a lady, but then she disappears and there's another lady with the same name wearing the same clothes. And it's like, what reality is he in, and misconnections and stuff. But like it all falls apart because of phone technology existing in the world. And the whole time you're going like, just make that call and you could
make that call. Yeah. There's literally an article. All this says, it just says Wicker Park characters need to answer their cell phones. Yeah,
right. There's a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. So bad. So bad. All right, Noel, the final four.
You are good at this. You are good at this, my friend.
I'm good at creating the drama of a close finish.
I love it.
All right, Noel.
Could go either way.
A movie wherein the classic iconic line, is it safe?
Yeah.
A movie called Marathon Man.
I've seen the Marathon Man.
Okay, great.
It's that one with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he gets attacked with that dude with the hockey stick and the flamethrower and all that, right?
No, Noel, that's the Running Man.
God damn! No, I've also seen the Marathon Man.
Have you? Who's in it?
I have. It's Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
And Sir Laurence Olivier.
All right.
Who plays the dentist, who is like a Nazi war criminal dentist.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's been a long time, but yeah, I've definitely seen it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Noel, last three. Come down to the wire.
Hot.
Classic damn. Movie from Francis Ford Coppola and Gene Hackman. It's called The Conversation.
Love it. I don't know why. I saw that when I was in college. That one really stuck with me. Something about it I thought was really neat. Like,
good movie.
It's one of those things where I think it's one of those things where it's like an unreliable narrator type situation where you're not sure. He gets so in his head about surveillance and about. He thinks he's being surveilled, and then the movie kind of ends with him sort of not knowing if he's like totally insane or not, right? Isn't that kind of the way it goes?
Sure.
I think it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Roughly.
Excellent movie. Early Harrison Ford appearance.
Oh, was he? Yeah, I guess so.
He's in it for a minute. He plays somebody's like assistant or something like that, but he's, I believe it's pre-Han Solo.
He also had a very, very small part in Apocalypse Now, so Francis Ford Coppola. He was on his radar early on.
Must have been.
All right, Noel, last two. You are up 10 to 8. So the worst you can do is equalize if you whiff on these final two.
Let's see what happens.
Number 19, a movie from Brian De Palma, very steamy, called Body Double.
No, I'm not sure. Again, all of these movies have the most generic titles. Who is in this one? Body Double is that Michael Douglas?
Nope.
No. Who is this? No, I haven't seen Body Double, Chuck. I haven't seen Body Double.
Good movie.
Dude, even the poster is steamy. It's like a dude creeping through, like a silhouette of a dude doing that classic peeking through the blind situation.
Yeah.
And a topless woman who appears to inexplicably be in the throes of ecstasy all by herself, just standing there kind of cradling her bosom.
You should have your own show where you just like describe movie posters.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. It's apparently a direct homage to Alfred Hitchcock, Rear Window, Vertigo, M for Murder.
Very much.
All that. Very voice. Oh, just really quickly, have you heard about this new movie that apparently went through some kind of development hell and it's now on Netflix and it's called like The Woman in the Window, and it also is an homage to all this stuff, but apparently it is hot garbage.
Oh, really?
It's got Amy Adams in it, who I think we both love, but it's very, very poorly reviewed. I would like to see it just to see if it lives up to the negative hype.
Yeah, Negative Hype. Good band name.
That is a pretty good band name.
All right, Noel, last one. You either equalize or you win. Basic Instinct.
I have seen that one.
All right. Look at you. 11 to 9.
Squeaking by. squeaking by the skin of my teeth pants.
Good job. Don't even know what that means.
Well, what does the skin of the teeth or seat of the pants even mean, Chuck? I mean, teeth don't have skin. That's the gums. Okay? That's the gums.
I never really thought about that. That makes no sense.
Mm-mm. Chuck, that was a very well-designed game, my friend. That was a very well-designed game.
It was a squeaker, but you did it. Noel, we're going to finish up this week with Stream This. I'll go first.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe I mentioned that we started I'll Be Gone in the Dark. We finished I'll Be Gone in the Dark two nights ago. The great documentary on HBO Max about the Golden State Killer and the late Michelle McNamara's dogged pursuit of said serial killer and book on said serial killer, and the way it weaves in her story with her experience as well as the true crime piece is enthralling and gripping and tragic in every way imaginable.
Didn't she have like a secret drug problem?
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and say if spoiler coming up here.
Okay.
Yes, she did. It was Patton Oswalt's wife, and she did. She had a largely because of this case, she was taking things to get her up and to get her motivated. She was taking things to bring her down and allow her to sleep through the nightmares. And it was an accidental overdose of a drug cocktail. And tragically, she passed before the book was finished. And Patton Oswalt helped to oversee the completion of that book.
Right.
And it's just brutal in every way. And that story is brutal in The Golden State Killer. And really focusing, it's a very victim-focused true crime piece. And seeing the final episodes of that with the survivors coming together after his arrest and conviction is just really touching, moving, brutal stuff to watch.
And I haven't seen it yet, and I obviously want to very much, especially knowing that detail. But like the whole drug addiction side of it, I think is really interesting because a loved one could have a drug problem like that, and maybe you're aware of it. It's not like they're completely hiding it, but you're like, oh, it's under control, or oh, they're doing it for a reason, or this, that, and the other. But it's very easy to normalize that and let that go. And I would just say, look out for your loved ones if you see red flags. You know,
I think
make sure they're okay. Make
exactly sure the case okay. Here. And Patton Oswalt even talked about it. Like, you know, who doesn't have friends who are like, oh, I need a couple of Xanax to calm down, and I need an Ambien, and then you know, or an Adderall to get me up or whatever. I might be confusing the drugs, but.
Adderall's the up one. Yeah.
Okay. And it's very easy to normalize that and be like, oh, well, someone's working on a book and they just need a little extra help. But then there are other secret drugs because you get, you plateau and you need something more. And then it gets out of hand and it's very, very, very sad what happened to Michelle.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I definitely will. I'm going to make some mental, emotional space for that one because I know it sounds like a lot, but
it is a lot.
I'm very fascinated with the case, and obviously that part of the story is fascinating as well.
Totally. So we also have been doing a little palate cleansing because those episodes were so rough, rewatching some of What We Do in the Shadows here and there for some yucks. And then last night, Noel, I watched Army of the Dead by myself because Emily went to sleep super early.
I watched it too.
What'd you think?
It's so stupid. It's fine. It is exactly. As advertised. It is exactly what a movie called Army of the Dead about a heist in a zombie-ridden Las Vegas would be. I think I've mentioned my favorite online movie reviewers are these dudes from Minnesota. You go by Red Letter Media, and they have a show called Half in the Bag, and it's just great. Super snarky. But they point out, and I would put this to you, Chuck, and the Crushers, that it is very much a one-to-one ripoff of Aliens.
Oh, really?
Just not like, obviously there's not aliens, but it's Aliens. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's like a rich financier pays them to go to this place that's infested with aliens to get some kind of payload. And there's a, you know, caretaker situation with Newt and Sigourney Weaver's character, as there is with Drax and his daughter. There's the same rich person sending them into zombie infested thing, which is the equivalent of the ship that they're going into to get whatever payload it is. And there's the bad white guy who double crosses everybody, who is Paul Reiser in Aliens. And it's, that
weird looking dude from Deadwood in the
he's great.
Yeah, he's awesome. But when you see
he
what
shows
I'm saying?
Up, you know he's not going to be like a straight
good guy. He's got that cockeyed kind of like sure. you know look to him. No, he's not. But I would ask you to maybe like look into that a little bit. Maybe there's an article or something. But they make a side by side comparison, and it really is. Even the way the helicopter rescues them at the end. And they point out that like where Aliens gets all the tension building right and gets all the character development right, you know, Army of the Dead really doesn't have any of that. All the headshots land perfectly every time. Sure. There's very little tension. There's very little concern for the characters' well-being. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tell you what, Noel, it was fine. I watched it. I liked the gore. I thought it was
totally
some fun, effective use of gore. But you know what? In the end, I don't know that I've ever seen a filmmaker be more consistently just mediocre to not exactly. great as Zack Snyder.
That's what I've always thought.
And he continue is very, to get really yeah. big movies.
He is the very definition of style over substance.
Yeah.
He's got this look and he knows how to nail it. He's got this slow-mo, hyper-stylized, big music sequence, set pieces and all that shit. But like, very little character development and very little story and plot. Like this is the, you know, you could sum this story up on the back of a cocktail napkin. I mean, there's really nothing.
Yeah, agreed. And I hated the music in Army of the Dead.
Oh, all the covers?
All the little whimsical, ethereal mm-hmm. covers of these classic songs.
Yeah. My girlfriend liked it. I hated it.
And then at the end, when he literally used Zombie.
Zombie.
By
talk about being on the nose.
Who's the band?
The Cranberries.
Yeah, the Cranberries. It was just, yeah.
I didn't think
it was a waste of time or anything.
No.
I'm glad
fun.
I watched it.
It was fun, and I like a good heist. But you know, again, in the red letter or the half in the bag, they talk about how like okay, Ocean's 11. Characters are fun and smart and funny, and there are challenges that they have to overcome, and they have to bob and weave and kind of figure out their way through to the next challenge. This one, there's very little of that. You know, it's very straightforward.
Yeah. And when you're doing a heist movie and a safe-cracking movie, part of the fun is designing a really sort of elaborate, fun safe-cracking sequence.
And which this they one, sort of did with the
not really
the traps.
Dude. This was just like a guy that had to listen to the safe and turn the
dial. But there were the traps, though. There were the traps. They had to use the zombie to like trip the traps. But even
I did
that,
like that part. I did like that part.
That's what I'm saying. That part. That part was fun.
The dart shot in the zombie. That was kind of fun.
Exactly. That part was pretty fun.
So it had a few moments, but you know, it's because we're so goddamn starved for entertainment that we're
100%.
Even watching these movies.
Did you watch the Snyder cut? Still
haven't.
It was fine. It's very long. But I'm with you, man. I've always felt this way about Zack Snyder. He seems like a really lovely guy, though. I will say that. Like every interview I watch with him, he's just so purely, earnestly into doing what he does, and I really appreciate that about him. And obviously, he had a tragedy with his daughter's taking her own life.
Sure.
And that's what led to him having to depart from the Justice League movie in the first place. But he just seems like a real good guy.
Well, that can get you work too. You know, if you're easy to work with, the studios mm-hmm. like you, and his movies make money, then maybe they don't care if they're not the most well reviewed. You know,
he's also weirdly best friends with Christopher Nolan.
Oh, really?
They like are really, really close. And like apparently, Christopher, I think there's a family connection. Even like Christopher is married to his sister or like somebody who he's related to. But Christopher apparently told him, "Don't watch the Justice League cut that what's his face did." Who's the guy that did like
did Joss Whedon?
Joss Whedon, yeah. He said, "Don't watch it. Just don't do it." Because he apparently they took it in a direction that was not what he intended at all. But yeah, I'm with you, Chuck. I definitely enjoyed it for what it was. I like zombie tigers. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder if Zack Snyder ever calls up Christopher or maybe even texts Christopher Nolan and says, "Hey man, how do you make a good movie?"
Yeah, that's pretty pointed question. That'd be hard. Where do I start, Zachary? Where do I start?
What have you been watching, Noel? You got anything to stream?
Well, I watched a movie on the plane when I was coming back from Seattle, and it's actually a Christopher Nolan movie called Tenet.
Still haven't seen it.
I have no idea what that movie is about.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I mean, really. And I tried.
Yeah.
But the thing that there were some things about it that were cool, but it's one of those things where it's so cryptic
and like esoteric, and like the whole device of what the movie is, what the plot driving, like technology, you know, he always has to have some kind of like little twisty, like time travel-y device or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to the point where you feel like you missed something and that you're like stupid. And that's not a good place to put your audience, Chuck.
No,
you know what I mean? I think it was Sherry who we used to work with in social media.
I miss Sherry.
I do too. I love Sherry. Hi, Sherry, if you listen to the show. She pointed out that it's like keeping your audience in the dark to this degree is like damaging to the way people are able to enjoy your movie. It's one thing if it's like Donnie Darko, or maybe it doesn't quite all add up, but this one, it was like none of it added up.
Interesting.
It's like, why is everyone going backwards? I don't understand. Is it like their doppelganger? I just don't get it. Like, and I wanted to, and it was also long.
I'll watch it. I'll try and get it in before our next mini, and maybe I can offer my perspective.
I'd love to gripe about it with you, Chuck, because I feel like you're going to be roughly on the same page. But also, when you watch a movie on a plane, you're not really giving it your full, you know, its full due. So I will give it that. But, you know, I still think I probably feel the same way.
Yeah, that seat back is not an ideal experience. All right, Noel, you got anything else?
Let's move on to number two.
All right. Well, that is it for us, everyone. And I hope you had an enjoyable experience listening to this little episode. And I hope everyone is doing great and are being their best selves. And healthy and happy, and have a good week.
You gonna flub the outro too, Chuck, on purpose?
Shut up.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.